And welcome back to the Big Wake Up Call. I'm Ryan Gatenby, and time for my next guest is a number one New York Times best-selling author. He is back with his 18th thriller featuring Cotton Malone. The brand new book is The Atlas Maneuver. It is now available where books are sold, and we're going to chat with Steve Barry. Steve, good morning, and welcome to the show.
Great for having me. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on. We were just talking with Mark Graney on Monday about his new Gray Man novel. And I see, Steve Barry's right there, a testimonial on the back. We got Steve coming on Wednesday. This is a great week for authors.
Oh, well, that's right. His book came out at the same time mine did.
Now, do you feel a sense of camaraderie with some of your fellow thriller authors? Do you guys do like any sort of networking?
Oh, yeah, we do. We all get together. There's a thing called Thriller Fest that happens every year.
Ooh, neat.
Which is the gathering of all the thriller. Yeah, the gathering of all the thriller writers from around the world happens in New York City every year. So, yeah, there's a community of thriller writers, absolutely. And we communicate by phone, email, those kinds of things. And then we're out on the road. I was just out on the road, and C.J. Box was coming around behind me, and I think Mark was coming around behind me, too, or simultaneous with me. So we were kind of moving around to some of the stores and going in and out one day, and they'd be there the next.
So we have here your 18th Cotton Malone novel, and where do we find our hero in the Atlas Maneuver?
Oh, he gets caught up in a war between the world's oldest bank and the CIA, and it deals with Bitcoin. Bitcoin's a subject matter that's fascinated me for a long, long time, and I've been wanting to do something with it. So this is a thriller about Bitcoin. So the reader's going to learn about Bitcoin. You're going to get a full understanding of how it works, how the whole process comes together. And it all revolves around a treasure from World War II called Yamashita's Gold, which is a real treasure that was hidden in the Philippines at the end of the war, some of which was found at the end by American intelligence community and used for some very interesting purposes. And all of that comes back to play with Cotton when he gets caught up in that war. And it's a fun story. It goes from Luxembourg to Switzerland to the Atlas Mountains of Morocco.
And Steve, I have to tell you, here in your book, that probably is the best explanation of Bitcoin that I've read. And I've read it, from, people who know the economy and people supposedly are diving into the math. But I mean, it's thorough and you made it very easy to understand. So for that alone, this is worth the money.
Well, I wanted, because I didn't understand Bitcoin. I didn't know the first thing about it. So I spent months learning about it, and I wanted to explain it in a way that folks could say, wow, now I understand. Now I got it. I see what that is now. So that was one of the purposes of the book. So, you're going to learn a little something while you have fun with this thriller.
Now, you do research, I imagine, where you're going to, set the novel, where so you can kind of have that connection where the story is taking place. But getting deep into Bitcoin, is that the most behind the scenes work you've done before writing a book?
No, I do that about every book. There's usually something in every novel that I know little to nothing about, and that's what actually draws me to it, is that I want to learn more about those things. So yes, it's normal for me. And Bitcoin was a subject that I had heard a lot about. You hear people talking about it, you see it all the time, but you just don't how does that work? How in the world? What is it? What is it? How does it function? It was interesting to me. And luckily I had a gentleman here in where I live who does this for a living. So he taught me a lot about Bitcoin and pointed me to the books I needed to read. And I got a good understanding because I knew I was going to have to explain it in a way that everyone could pick up on it pretty quickly.
Right, because you want it to be understood. It wants to become part of the story, and you don't want someone figuring that out. I don't want to be taken out of the world, the universe of the book. I kind of want to stay in there as long as I can.
No, that's exactly right. I don't want you to do that either. I don't want you to get taken out of it in the least. I want you to stay with me at all times. So that's the trick in this genre, is mixing information with action. It's the hardest thing we have to do. So I'm not saying I'm great at it, but I am saying I'm conscious of it. And I try very hard to make sure that I get that right mix of those two.
When you're looking for a situation to place your character in, do you kind of say, I kind of want to visit this topic, this time period, this place? and specifically set about doing that? Or does, you know, is it something like, wow, you know, something occurs to you and inspires an idea? I know I hate that question when I get it. Where do you get your ideas? But you've lived with this character for a long time. You must kind of know what you think he could plausibly do.
Yes, I mean, he's my guy. I mean, sure. I've been with him for 18 books, and he's basically my personality. So him and I get along very well. And we're just fine. We get along just fine. And it works out fine with me. But each book, though, I explore something new about Cotton, something new in his personality that I've never explored before. I make a point to do that in every book. And this book deals with regret. He deals with some regret from his past, something he thought he would never, ever see or hear again, and yet he does. And so it's fun for Carrot Cotton to grow. He's changed a lot in the last 18 books, and so he's a kind of a different guy.
Well, and isn't that part of the fun for your readers who know you and know the character? I'm like, okay, I know this guy. I know how he thinks and feels. So I'm kind of familiar and comfortable with this format. But then you start doing the twists, and that's where it gets really interesting.
It does. Sometimes it gets tricky, and thankfully, most times it works. If it doesn't, that's a problem because I got to start all over again.
Yeah.
And we certainly don't want to do that. We don't want to do that at all. So there is an element there of, this has got to work because I have to turn that book in a year. I can't, I have a certain amount of time to get it done.
Have you ever kind of written yourself into a corner and had to backtrack or scrap a large portion of it?
All the time. I don't have to scrap, but I have to rewrite it.
Yeah.
That does happen quite often. You have to be ready to do that and ready to pivot. When that happens, you make the pivot and you go, but it happens quite often. It would be great if I could outline the novel all the way through before I write it, but unfortunately there's no time for that, so I kind of have to do it as I go.
So, but you know this character so well that you can probably, get inside his mind. Does he take you somewhere that you didn't think he would go?
No, because I'm in control with him.
Yeah.
But sometimes the plot will change, yes. There's no question. It will change and modify a little bit. That is not unusual at all. I've seen that happen quite a bit. I've learned to go with it. When it happens, I go with it, and I just go where I got to go. And you just make the adjustment and do it. This book had several of that. There's a surprise at the end of the novel that should surprise the reader. It did not occur to me until I was about 80% into the book. So that's where you show where you make your pivot.
Well, and how thrilling is that as an author to arrive on that? You find something that's so delightful that, I now have the perfect ending for this.
Oh, yeah. That's a great thing when it happens because you go like, wow, I didn't think about that. That's really good. I like that. And this one is that way. It just came to me when I was there. And I said, well, it's going to work. I got to go back and do a little rewriting, but that's okay. It's worth it. And it sets some things up for Cotton's world to change a little bit over the next few years. It's about time for you to get a little spice in his life there.
So this one is out now. Have you already started working or turned in the next one?
Yeah, the 2025 book is finished. It'll be out next year. It deals with something, again, that fascinated me, the Medici family from Florence, the great banking family from the Middle Ages, and the Palio, the great horse race over there. I was there last summer, and a novel occurred to me. So Cotton's going to get caught up in something called the Medici Return, which will come next year at this time. And then there's two more after that that I'm already doing the research on and conceptualizing. So I stay about 2 years ahead of the reader.
So then is it difficult to come back? Oh, I kind of refamiliarized myself with the Atlas Maneuver because I've kind of moved on two books from now.
Oh, it is very difficult. When it's time to go on tour, I've been on tour last week and I'm, of course, talking with you today. I have to go back and look at the novel and reacquaint myself to it because I've been writing another book and plotting another one after that. So my mind, I've kind of purged. See, I wrote Atlas in 2022, turned in 23. Published in 24. So it's been 2 years since I've dealt with that novel.
And it is The Atlas Maneuver. It is the latest Cotton Malone novel, now available Where books are sold, please support your local independent bookstore. We have been visiting with Steve Berry. And Steve, thank you so much for joining me today. Would love to chat with you again for the next one.
Thank you so much. I'll see you when it comes out.